Hello, we are the Pop Culture Show, presented by Luna Nuda Pinot Grigio. Celebrate the little moments and the big ones with Luna Nuda Pinot Grigio. Hey guys, what's going on?
I've got my bottle right behind me.
Yeah, you always do.
Yeah, we go.
Me too.
In the sidecar. We're a deep dive into pop culture, music, technology, movies, you name it. If it's technology, if it's pop culture during that week, more than likely, we're going to talk about it. So thank you for listening. Please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We always come out on Mondays. And the Pop Cult is our little group that we send kind of on the down low emails to. And this week we have something very exciting coming to our Pop Cult. So if you're not a member yet, you should sign up, because we're going to tell you what Rock and Roll Hall of Fame rock star will be on next week's episode.
Huge.
Big time.
Big time and legendary and definitely iconic.
100%.
Yeah, you could sing one of their songs probably without even thinking about it, and several other ones too. So just join the Pop Cult. Just go to thepopcultureshow.com and you'll see Join the Pop Cult. Get in there, and then we're going to leak that information midweek and you'll know what's coming. It's going to be a fun show next week. We have a fun guest today. I simplify her name to Naz, N-A-S, because that's what she tells me to say.
Not to be confused with Little Nas.
Not Little Nas, but Naz. Right.
Naz.
Naz is the host of The Orgasm Cult, which is another podcast. It's on BBC, and I've been listening to it. I listen to lots of podcasts, a lot of true crime, too. And this is kind of on the true crime tip. It's about a cult. It's very much like Nexium. It's about oming.
Wait, what's oming?
I mentioned it in the wellness, talk we were given last week. We're talking about all the different new age wellness things. Oming is very freaky. Some people wouldn't say it's freaky, but this whole wrapped up in this orgasm cult podcast, it's freaky. Women go into a room, sometimes with several other people, take off their clothes from the waist down. And this is probably when we should say this is sensitive content. So,
you think?
This and later when we have Naz on. So just beware. And they would take their clothes off from the waist down, lay on these pillows, and then a guy would come in and he would ground himself by putting his hand, no glove or anything, putting his hand on them. And then he would put a glove on and he would manipulate their business. I'm not going to get into technical terms. And he would manipulate their business for 15 minutes exactly. They'll set a timer.
There's an exact timer?
Yes. So for 15 minutes, repetitively, I'm making a hand motion, would do something to these women. And these people would pay lots of money to get involved with this group called One Taste.
And if you're thinking what I'm thinking, you're thinking money. And then that, so it's got to be something else,
man,
but maybe not so much.
It's a good listen. It's 10 episodes. The episodes are like 20 minutes long.
I think I saw something a long time ago about this on the Goop newsletter.
You could have.
So later on in this podcast, we're talking to a BBC reporter who's been investigating it.
She's doing the whole thing. It's her show, The Orgasm Cult. So she did all the research. She's a journalist, put the whole thing together. She's really cool. She has a great voice, too. You're going to love her. She's cool. She's in London. And so that's our guest. Later in the episode.
Does sound a little like Nexium.
Her name is Naz, and she heard about us from India Oxenberg.
There you go.
She listened to the interview, which blew me away that she even knew that we existed, because unrelated to that, I had asked her if she would come on and talk about her podcast because I thought it was so interesting. Wanted to mention this new e-zine that I found that you guys might dig. It's called The Fast Times. What a great name for a pop culture e-zine. It comes out every week, and they do a really good job of kind of summarizing some current and past pop culture elements. It's pretty much a crash course in Gen X pop culture with just a tinge of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And it's got a really good look, and it just got that retro feel to it, but it also has, current things going on as well. They dig deep into trends and issues and movements, and like they were talking about this week how Gen Y, they don't want to use periods in texts, and Gen X people get all freaked out about it. So they think that a period is so definite. When you say, I'm going to see you next week, period. Instead of I'm going to see you next week and then leave it open. Like weird things that you might not ever think of. The references, and they put iconic music videos in there and things like that.
So oh, I got to check this out.
You should check it out. It's called The Fast Times. Just Google it.
Well, with a tinge of nostalgia, Cubby would love it.
Yeah. I love my nostalgia.
Yes.
I mean, I thought of you for that reason.
Do you have any texting pet peeves, by the way?
Dude, we've talked about this.
Probably like, something about me.
No.
Well, no, it's been a while, though. I mean, the only thing that's come up before is you and the K. Like, are you okay? Like, Barnes is a big okay guy or just a K guy, which I hate.
I don't K. I'm not a big K-er.
K.
Well, it's well, okay is just as bad as K, but like...
Well, but you're the one who wants simple, short, succinct replies, and you don't... I mean, you like
to Yeah, but throw an emoji in there, like a smiley face or a fucking heart or something.
I love my emojis.
I do too, yeah.
No, the biggest pet peeve is being put in a text group that you are not wanting to be in, and then you get the freaking notifications all day.
Right.
All day.
Like that.
But you can get out of some of those rooms, not all of them for some reason, but you can go to the bottom of the text thread and hit unsubscribe or something, I think.
Well, I don't know if you've been following this story, but wow, it has gone sideways.
This isn't exactly counterfeiting. No one's alleging that Mischief took a non-Nike shoe and made a fake Nike shoe. Instead, they're alleging that they bought a bunch of Nike shoes, legitimate Nike shoes, and then added these aftermarket modifications. And that, Nike says, results in what's called dilution. It creates a substantial chance that people will mistake this for having come from Nike. And they have evidence in their complaint that people online think this is actually Nike's doing. And they do not like that one bit.
That was Danny Savalos, NBC News. This is all about the Little Nas X 666 shoes. That looks like a Nike, like Satan. A limited edition, yeah, Nike shoe, and Nike's taking them to court.
This is a big deal because some of the people aren't understanding why. Like some of the people that I've heard talking about it are like, well, who cares? They paid for these shoes, and then they're reselling them and they're modifying them. Well, it because of the content being about Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're tarnishing their brand.
Right. They don't want their brand to be associated with this.
And there's blood in the shoes, too?
There's a drop of blood. There's mm-hmm. a pentagram. The reason they're $1,018 is because it's from Luke 10:18.
The thing I think I'm a little confused about is Lil Nas had a best-selling children's book.
Yeah.
And now this? It's a little confusing. It's
180, right?
It's just a weird thing to... And Miley Cyrus has a pair. Did you see her tweet about that?
It's unbelievable.
She was saying, do you see Satan or something like that? I'm surprised that she would, I mean, maybe I'm not surprised.
The price would be better if it was $666. It'd be cheaper.
666 shoes, and they're limited edition numbered on the side. So like 1/666.
Right.
But the problem with this lawsuit, and they filed it either in New York or New Jersey, wherever Mischief's in Brooklyn. And mm-hmm. it's spelled funny, like M-S-C-H-F. Yeah. And the court just came out at the end of the week last week and told them to freeze. And they're like, we already shipped them. They're like, you know, we had shipped the first 665 and they were going to give away number 666 for the lottery or something. I saw one on Etsy for $500, which I was surprised.
I, by the way, had no idea about the whole, I don't know how I missed this, but there is that whole business of reselling, right? That people are in that are making gazillions of dollars.
Well,
yeah.
A Nike executive just went down because her son.
I saw that. That was how reselling. I found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Millions.
Millions.
I think his name's like West Coast Pete or something. Or so, he's mm-hmm. a shoe seller online. Was using his mom's black Amex.
Ouch. Oh.
Her Nike corporate Amex to buy these shoes, allegedly. Anyway, the weird thing about this case, and so the courts in New York said halt, mm-hmm. and Nike is suing them, but this is the same company who 3 years ago made the Jesus shoe. Do you remember that?
I did not know that.
I didn't know about that one either.
Has the holy water in the sole. Mischief made those, and Nike didn't sue them.
And now, you know, now's not the climate to be doing something like this. Don't you agree?
Just weird. I agree. I just want to hear what Lil Nas has to say about it and the reasoning.
And his team, who I guess led him to this promotion, but he's got that video out where he's like dating the devil.
Right.
I see where what they're trying to do. But the courts, it's going to be very interesting because of this whole Jesus shoe, and it's the same company.
I know.
So they're actually suing the company, though. They're not actually suing Lil Nas.
No, Lil Nas has not been named in any lawsuits that I've seen. They're suing Mischief. Mm-hmm. But Mischief's defense is, hey, we made the Jesus shoe 3 years ago, and Nike didn't say anything. And you have to pay like $4,000 to find one of those. They like actually got holy water, sourced it, and put it in the shoe.
But how would you really know that, though?
You don't know. You're trusting that they did what they did. But still, $4,000?
Well, they're collectors out there.
And well, these guys, think about it. The 1,018 times 600. Nike's saying that money comes to us first and foremost, but I bet the damages if they win. But they've got a good case with the whole Jesus shoe thing.
Well, I think I would be erring on the side of Jesus and not Satan.
Leslie errs on the side of Jesus for the win.
Follow the Pop Culture Show on Twitter for the latest breaking celebrity, music, and TV news. Keep on top of your pop culture news with us on Twitter. Follow at Pop Culture Show on Twitter.
All right, guys, we all have Netflix, right? We got it.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't?
All right, who doesn't? Do you share your password with anybody? Family, friends?
No.
I don't even know what the password is because it's my husband's.
There you go.
Are
we
you
have
surprised?
Nothing to worry about.
I'm a big rule follower. Do you share yours?
Oh, I do. With my mom. Just one person.
Well, you're still cheating.
Well, Netflix says they're going to start cracking down on people that are sharing passwords. And it's making people a little nervous.
I've seen the prompts. Have you been seeing it? It'll pop up. They're doing like a secondary check.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what's scaring people. This little pop up. It's asking about where are you? And, you know, where does this account originate from? And that's scaring a lot of people. But Netflix says, well, not really in so many words, that they're really not going to like come to your house and arrest you. It's a problem. They probably will be very difficult to stop. But don't be scared if that pops up. You're okay. You can still do it. In fact, Netflix kind of says, hey, we want to keep winning. You know, we want lots of people to enjoy Netflix. But it is putting a scare in people that have heard this headline about cracking down on passwords, and then this new thing pops up when you sign on.
Okay, what's your password, Cubby, since you're so giving?
It is Barnes Sucks.
Yeah, okay, Barnes Sucks. And Cubby says, so for the official statement from the Pop Culture Show, Leslie, Cubby says it's okay to share Netflix passwords because they won't do anything.
But,
right?
Well, no, that's what they're kind of hinting at that.
I just wanted to know, what were they going to do?
Well, the only thing that I think that they want to put scare in people, I think. I don't think they want one account to have 20 different people sharing it. But I think they have some leeway with four or five people. Because like I said, they want people. Netflix is still leading in the whole streaming business. But with the pandemic the last year and a lot of other streaming service, they are getting gained on a bit. Yeah. And I think they want to keep that number one slot.
Well, they're dancing on a weird slope. Because if you piss people off and your brand sentiment goes backwards, all of a sudden, just because, oh, what, I just shared my password with my mom. And they're, you know, right. Are they going to come at you and take you to court? I mean, what can they do, really? So they're like, probably silently, like in their own meetings, hey, you know what? So what? We're getting that one subscriber.
And we want people to think about not giving it out to too many people. And look, I think the only thing they could probably do is maybe have a cutoff. Like you can have no more than five friends or family share your password. And then after the sixth one comes in, it says, I'm sorry, we've reached your limit or something.
That's a great
that
idea, actually, Cubby.
You know?
The friends and family program.
There's probably site, you could probably Google and find an active Netflix password right now. And those should probably be shut down.
Barnes, you're really famous though for like signing up for the free subscription to like Hulu and then canceling it.
Hey, that's being smart. Every year on Black Friday, they offer Hulu for 99 cents for a year. And so I sign up. It doesn't say
is
anything.
Is it the ad-free Hulu or just?
Yeah, no, it's the one with ads.
The basic one.
Yeah, so I get pissed off anyway when I watch it. But still, I'll sign up, and then next year, I'll sign up with a different email address. I don't see where it says you can't do that. I'm not being illegal about it. I'm not sharing my code.
Right. And see, my wife and I, we want to watch Handmaid's Tale, but I also want to watch what's the Punky Brewster thing called again? Kids 90 or something
Kid 90,
like that?
Yeah, it's really good.
So I want to watch Kid 90, and I haven't been able to watch it because we canceled Hulu at the end of the last Handmaid's Tale. So my wife looked it up. She's like, when's Handmaid's Tale coming back? Because I know you want to watch Kid 90, and I want to watch Handmaid's Tale. And we found out Handmaid's Tale is like April 28th. So we're going to do a free trial again on a different email for Hulu. So I'll be two months behind on Kid 90, but I'll finally see it.
But more and more people are doing what you're saying, and they're evaluating their purchases because this subscription model has overtaken us.
Correct.
And so there's so many streamers. And I don't know if you're like me, but Netflix is king, right? I never even think about getting rid of Netflix on my on my evaluation.
What's second for you?
It rotates between HBO Max,
Hulu.
No, Hulu's 99 cents a month, but then I have to refresh in November. But HBO Max, Showtime,
right?
Stars, which besides the NXIVM thing, I haven't found anything else that I like because Power's gone pretty much from there. So those three, and I don't want to pay for them because they'll just sit there. So I'll just
Apple Plus,
but I have that when I bought my phone. I got that for like a year or something.
Yeah.
And they keep extending it.
Cutting the cord is really not that cheap.
It is. I think it is. I still stand by YouTube TV is the best one.
When you add it all up, you're paying about, like, my cable bill right now is $218 a month. That's just for Verizon Fios, right? And I know I could save money if I didn't have streaming services as well. But if I cut cable out, I guarantee you between Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, or whatever, I'm getting up to near the $200 range. YouTube Live is like, what, $64?
Well, I'm paying $82. How are you paying so much? YouTube TV.
Wait, for cable?
YouTube TV, which is my cable, plus one add-on.
I mean, what I'm saying is I'm paying $218 for Verizon Fios, okay?
Oh, is that your internet too?
That's internet too.
Oh.
If I said peace out Verizon Fios, I don't want cable, I'll use it for internet. I'll just use streaming services. I feel like that's all going to add up to close to $200.
Well, you still need your internet. Yeah. But
right.
I was paying like $270 just for the full enchilada cable, whatever it was. Like, you know, when you have everything. But
right.
I don't watch 90% of those channels.
Is full enchilada correct,
I was
Leslie?
Gonna say,
why'd you laugh at that?
It was a head enchilada.
We rent so many movies. And Barnes knows, like $4.99, $5.99, $6.99. And then, you know, who knows what it is at the end of the month.
I'm going to make a new app called The Depression Channel because I know Leslie will rent everything that we put on there.
All the dramas, baby.
all the sadness.
Yeah, do you ever watch Airplane, Leslie? Or
I told you I watched Dodgeball the other day.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. You did watch a comedy. Okay.
Lots happening this week in pop culture. You know, you never know whatever happened to Lindsay Lohan, but then she just pops up, right? This week, she and this DJ Manuel Riva, like all of a sudden dropped a song called Lullaby. All you needed was me and your dreams and a lullaby.
That's awful.
Well, the quality's not that great.
Will that be big in the clubs, Cubby?
I haven't been to a club in over a year.
It's so weird. Like, out of nowhere.
What's that obnoxious horn?
But don't knock Lindsay. Look, I'm not defending her, but she did have a hit. I mean, she had a minor hit with that song called Rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that song?
But that was the only one, right?
Right. But I'm saying it's not like she has had no hits. But yeah, that one wasn't. From what I just heard, it didn't do much for me.
I have heard, though, that she's very healthy now and happy, which is great.
Only thing that could be worse than that is you bringing out some new Demi Lovato music.
Oh, well, what do you know? Demi Lovato dropped a new
please.
Album yesterday. It's called...
Stop!
You're kidding, right? Because I was going to bring this up. It's called Dancing with the Devil, and people are talking about this one song she did with... it's a collaboration with Ariana Grande.
Oh, you had to say that.
Yeah, and the song is called Met Him Last Night. Listen to this. Yeah, I seen the devil, yeah, I met him last night. One conversation, now it's late in the night. I think I love him, though I know it ain't right.
What's all this new Satan stuff? It's like a new age of Satan loving.
I don't know, but, you know, look, I'm on Demi's side after hearing her story the last couple of years. You know, I'm kind of rooting for her.
And isn't Ariana joining The Voice?
Yes, she's taking over for Nick Jonas as a coach.
Big time.
Wow. Well, here's Ariana's new song, everybody. It's fantastic. Check this out. I'm kidding. That's a group of humpback whales. This is a cool story. So you led me there. This pod of humpback whales in Bermuda surrounded a group of snorkelers, and they just happened to have cameras rolling, GoPros, whatever, under the water. And this is all of the whales basically talking to them. It's kind of chilling when you listen to it. Have a listen. That's crazy.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember back in the day, National Geographic magazine, you get the plastic record every now and then. You have to cut it out of the magazine and play it out as a 45.
Yeah. Like a whale happy hour.
I used to love that.
But that, I mean, they were right there in the center of all these whales.
I love it. They're whales, dolphins, very smart. Octopus are also smart.
My wife is whale crazy. If that was her in the middle of that, she'd be going nuts. I mean, to the point we were at Cap Maison last month and she yelled, whale!
She was homing.
Yell shark. Yeah. And we saw whales breaching in the distance. And then if you put your head underwater, you could actually hear the whales from like miles away.
Twitter was all abuzz about Miley performing the Final Four. People from loving her to going, she sounded terrible, to people wondering what was going on with her hair. I mean, the comments are actually hysterical, but she came out and rocked.
They were blasting her. Like, it was like a full-on, immediate Twitter blast fest. Mm-hmm. She did a bunch of covers. Did you see it, Cubby?
I missed it. I tuned in at the end, and then someone on Facebook, a friend of mine, put, I love Miley Cyrus. And then they mentioned it on TV, great performance by Miley Cyrus. I missed it, and I went to Twitter, actually, for all the news.
Leslie, roll one of those clips. She did a bunch of covers. Buddy, old boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your pen all over the place.
I didn't think that sounded bad, and people were just brutal. Well, of course, it's Twitter. Twitter is brutal.
You know what it is? I think you just don't like pop singers, Barnes, because you came from the rock
world. No, I like Miley.
You like her, but you didn't like her this performance at the Final Four.
I thought that it was a little contrived, and why was it needed? Like, it just seems like a weird...
Yeah, I think it's because they had to fill so much time between the two games.
She's really versatile, though, Cubby, don't you think? Like, she can rock, she can do country, she can do pop. I mean,
and every performance, she gets people talking. Remember the MTV performance with Robin Thicke?
Yes. Oh,
right. She does get people talking, there's no doubt. Well, she was on with her Satan. She has the Satan shoes.
She has the Satan shoes, yes.
Yeah.
With her in the shoes. Do you see Satan? But people are talking about it's atrocious. Here's one. I don't understand why executives think they need to have boring-ass musical acts to signify a major sporting event. Miley Cyrus doing cover songs, ? And there are some people are going on to trash Super Bowl performances. Here's someone named Blonde Pony saying, I got to say, watching these white people dance to Miley Cyrus in their social distance neon squares might be the worst thing I've seen all weekend. It was very strange seeing those squares.
People are mean behind that keyboard.
Mean tweets.
Yeah.
No, they are definitely that.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw the video of Michael Strahan last Tuesday. He has a video posted of him at a oral surgeon's office, and they've just completed fixing the gap between his teeth. So the gap is gone officially. That big gap he's had for years, his whole life. Well, what was Thursday of last week? Well, that would be April Fool's Day. So a couple of days later, it was announced that he did not fix the gap in his teeth. That was a big April Fool's prank.
Wow.
So I have to admit, it looked good when he showed the picture. I mean,
I believed it.
I believed it too. I believed it too.
I believed it. And then I was like, well, that's his signature look. Why would he want to change after all these years?
Correct. People are used to it now.
Do what makes you happy, because I did. And I am happy that I did it. So I just wanted to say, April Fools. Come on, man. The gap is here to stay.
Did I tell you I got a Twitter battle with him one time?
With Strahan?
Long story short, Michael Strahan.
He seems like Mr. Good Guy.
I used to be a season ticket. I mean, maybe he is a nice guy, but you know, if you have one experience with a celebrity and they're not nice to you, you think that's the way they are. So I was at a New Jersey Nets game before they moved to Brooklyn. This was years ago. And I saw him. I had access to this VIP lounge during halftime. You can get drinks and stuff. And I saw him and I'm like, hey, what a great picture for Facebook this will be. And I said, hey, Michael, can I grab a pic? And he said, can't you see I'm talking, man? I'm talking to somebody.
Wow.
Now, I never, guys, you know, rule number one, you never want to go to someone at dinner or interrupt them. I never want to do that. So I didn't know he was talking to somebody, because he's such a big guy that I thought he was like scoping out the room. He looked like he's above everybody. So I thought he was just looking around the room. So I was kind of bummed out about it. And then like 20 minutes went by and I got back to my seat and I was like, I got kind of mad about it. And I tweeted, I went, boy, that at Michael Strahan, really not a nice guy.
Oh,
and
boy.
I didn't think he would reply. And like a minute later, bling, notification, Michael Strahan replied. And it was like, some people need to know their manners and not interrupt people during the middle of conversations.
Ooh, he called you out.
Called me out. And so at this point, now I'm getting nervous, because I get scared easily, and I wanted to make things. I wanted to smooth things over, and I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were talking. I just wanted an innocent picture. I go, how about being a guest on my radio show one time? We'll make men's on the air. And then he replied, ha ha ha, yeah, right. And that was it.
Whoops.
I do. You know what? I applaud you, Cubby, though, because you were trying to get a booking out of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But when you decided to tag him on Twitter, you knew that the potential, you could have just said his name without tagging him.
I knew there was a potential he might see it, but sometimes, you know, these big celebrities, they never end up seeing them. And I'm thinking, oh, he'll never see this.
Wow.
And lo and behold, you learn.
Let's try and get Strahan on, Leslie, and kind of cover up the wound. After all these years.
Yeah. I'm sure he doesn't remember. Yeah.
Let's bring them face to face. Did you guys follow the whole Suez Canal thing last week with the ship that was stuck?
Crazy.
I mean, literally jamming up the whole thing. It was like someone's Lego was too big and they put it in a little, you know, fake pond.
Right.
And when they finally freed it up, kind of a cool moment happened with all those vessels. It's kind of like outside my house every day in Atlanta.
I thought you were playing the whale audio again.
Right. It sounds literally. I'm not kidding you. I sound like I live on a NASCAR stretch.
Right.
Like when you buy golf front property, I bought NASCAR front property.
Oh.
Because Atlanta is nothing but loud cars and racing and horns.
I wonder if they were honking like that before it was, you know, unstuck.
Like pissed off.
Like traffic.
Right. Because in the Caribbean, when you honk in the Caribbean, anywhere in the Caribbean, it's a nice thing.
Right.
You're like, hi, Cubby. Hi, Cubby.
Yeah.
But when you're like.
That was a wild story.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you hold on to it longer. Crazy week in pop culture.
Wanna get intimate? Subscribe to The Pop Cult at thepopcultureshow.com and get VIP insider access to the show with bonus content, exclusive videos and freebies. Anything happening on the show will come to you first. Sign up free and join the pop cult at thepopcultureshow.com.
We've got to thank our sponsor. We've got a brand new sponsor this week, Luna Nuda Pinot Grigio. Thank you very much for sponsoring the Pop Culture Show. Why are you pointing at yourself, Cubby?
No, I was pointing at the bottle.
Oh. Oh, it's in the background. I thought you were pointing at you.
No.
I'm like, wow. That's a very nice focal point for that. I mean, this is pretty fantastic.
You know, Italy has this northernmost wine growing region. And this kind of embodies that whole taste.
Man, you're such the wine guy.
I was doing research on it. I love it.
Bright, crisp, delicious apple flavor throughout this wine. It's so light and crispy.
You can pair this wine with everything from seafood pasta to like chicken dishes or chicken salad dishes. My wife had done like this chicken and mustardy dish and had added this. It called for Pinot Grigio, so added the Luna Nuda. It's pretty incredible.
How about pairing this, though, with like a beautiful cheese plate? With company coming over with like homemade ricotta.
Sounds so good.
Or feta. It would be amazing.
It's available for shipping to most states. Go to shop.lunanuda.com. Luna Nuda Pinot Grigio.
I think the biggest shocker this week in Celebrity Sleaze, guys, is that one of the main characters on Bridgerton is not coming back for season two on HBO, Reggae Jean Page. Apparently now he's in a bunch of movies.
He's the Duke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't watch this show, and I have a lot of friends that do, and they were blown away by this. This was people big freaking news.
Shonda Rhimes said that it was already, like, that was meant to be, that he was not in the story arc beyond the first season.
Really?
But, you know, here's the thing. I think the next season's going to focus on some older characters, so I wonder if he'll come back maybe for season three, but I know that right now he has been doing, like, two or three big movies that are about to come out.
But older characters are going to have less sex. Why would they do that? Because that's what has sold Bridgerton.
Well, they could do a dream sequence.
Prequel, who knows? I'll tell you what, celebrities are going to have to beef up their security. I don't know if you saw a couple of these stories, but one was from LAPD arresting this guy who went to Kendall Jenner's home and then later went to her sister, Kylie Jenner's mansion.
Crazy.
His name is Shaquan King. He was arrested. I guess he went skinny dipping in the backyard pool. Got to have some nerves to do that.
How is he doing that?
He went skinny dipping in her backyard pool.
But they live in Hidden Hills. I've been to Hidden Hills in Calabasas. It's guarded.
Right. Like, I mean, the hills are a hurdle anyway. Much less the fences on the hills.
apparently he was charged with misdemeanor, right? Then he was released 6 hours later. And then what did he do? He decided to go to her sister's place. So he was arrested a second time within 2 days.
The story doesn't make sense because that is so heavily secured. And if you were the one person got in, you would look so suspicious just wandering around from house to house.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't people just making house calls door to door selling stuff in that neighborhood.
And then Drake had a visitor at his mansion.
Who lives in the same neighborhood?
This is crazy. It said that this is from Toronto, though. Toronto police reported that on Tuesday, a female adult that was carrying a knife was arrested. She didn't get into the property. It wasn't unclear what she was doing there. She didn't have any communication with Drake, but one of the bodyguards was struck with a metal pipe. That's pretty crazy. He's got a mansion on 2 acres. It's got like a 50,000 square foot. The home is 50,000 square feet. This house is worth $100 million, this whole complex that he has.
I was wrong. I was thinking of The Weeknd. The Weeknd lives in Hidden Hills.
Yeah.
And then Lil Wayne just bought a $13 million house in Hidden Hills.
Right.
Every house is somebody mega famous. It's the craziest thing.
It is. It's unbelievable. So more than 8 million people have seen Demi Lovato's documentary, Dancing with the Devil. Here we go, Barnes.
More devil.
But on Tuesday, she released the third of 4 episodes. Now, have you heard this one? A 20-minute version on YouTube focusing on the aftermath of her 2018 overdose. Two of her closest friends got death threats. Apparently, she is recalling a time about having sex for the first time at age 15 with another Disney performer. She says it was date rape.
Wow.
Ooh.
This is really tough. This is really tough. So no wonder this is so harrowing.
Did you catch her TikTok debut on Friday? They did like the, where you interview yourself? I forgot what they're calling it. TikTok's doing something where like the celebrity asks the question to themselves and then they answer it.
No, I haven't seen that.
I think it's called In Your Head or In Their Head. It's something they're starting to do it every Friday on TikTok. And I think Demi Lovato was the first one.
She said that she confessed to returning to her drug dealer after she completed rehab, but rather than confront him about the sexual assault, she relapsed on heroin. Mm. I have another sort of goop story for you guys. This one's crazy. Kim Kardashian got a box of tricks from Gwyneth Paltrow after she revealed that she's now single. Do you want to know what was in that box of tricks?
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay. Goop released a... what?
What's happening?
No, I like the dramatic pauses Leslie has.
He's like, yeah, we do. And you're like...
All right, well, keeping up with the Kardashians, apparently they decided that they were going to open up this box of tricks. Double-sided vibrator, sex gel, and a custom candle in collaboration with that company that Gwyneth Paltrow uses. And do you want to know the name of this candle?
I can only guess.
It burns at both ends?
Yeah.
Something about both ends.
Branded with, this smells like Kim's orgasm.
Oh, come on.
Hey, we're getting closer to our guest coming up in a few minutes.
From the orgasm cult.
I thought I would do that in honor of the guest that we have coming up.
I like it.
So did you guys see Blake Shelton talking about, I think he was on the Today Show or Good Morning America, talking about his upcoming wedding to Gwen Stefani?
I'm afraid if she and I wait till next November, then I'm right back into the voice cycle again. And really want to be able to have plenty of time before and after. Hopefully this summer. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I think we're right here at the point with COVID. It's like, it looks like it may be okay, but I don't know. So tentatively the plan.
Is he in his bathroom when he gave this press
conference?
Come
on, Barnes. We've been in a pandemic for a year. People are doing interviews on all kinds of different things.
Well, everyone has to have their good old boy, country boy. And my new favorite, who I'd love to have on, is Luke Bryan.
Luke's a good guy. Luke, by the way, Luke and Blake are both great guys.
I don't know Blake. Yeah, I feel like I know Luke from watching American Idol. He seems like such a good dude. He was in an accident this week. He was in some sort of something.
Well, he went fishing. And the hook went right through his thumb.
Oh, that just made me cringe.
Yeah.
Hey, what's Gavin Rosdale up to these days? You don't hear his name
much. Still?
Yeah, Bush got back together. They're touring.
The new album is fantastic.
Oh, see, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it.
Oh, it's so good. It came out like a year ago, probably. It's really good.
Well, Adam Levine was joking around saying he would sing at Blake and Gwen's wedding, and then Miley said she would, so we'll see who sings at their wedding.
All the people who get horrible press, they all want to sing at their wedding. I'm sure they'll get told, hey, Levine.
I do like watching The Voice when they have mentors, but guess who the new mentor is going to be? This should be quite interesting.
Demi Lovato.
Snoop.
Oh,
really?
Snoop's
going to be the mega mentor. What kind of advice he'll give?
I want to smell that dressing room.
That's interesting.
So I wanted to ask you guys, I have a list of the 7 highest paid TV actors of 2021. Do you want to guess who's on that list? Or
TV Rock? For this year? Have to be. Rock would have to be at the top.
He's not on here.
No?
Well, then one of the Kardashians?
Here we go. Well, at number 7, Marissa Hargitay.
Okay.
Oh, she just came back.
$500,000 per episode. I actually thought, you know, she's been on TV for so long, she has so many fans. But Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, $575,000 per episode. Another one who I really thought maybe more because that show's been on for a gazillion years. Number 5, Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
A mil per episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. Think about the Friends people were getting that in 1999, which is crazy to think.
Elizabeth Moss, $1 million an episode.
Handmaid's Tale.
Now, from Big Little Lies, Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman, $1 million each. Because, you know, you get big movie stars.
Right. The producers, they get a lot of back end.
And then Reese and Kerry Washington, $1.1 million per episode for Little Fires Everywhere.
And then both of those, they set their wages.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the executive producers or whatever. They're running the show.
No surprise here. Here's Reese again, Barnes, in the top 3. Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, $2 million per episode for The Morning Show.
Damn. I can't wait till that comes back. That's such a good show.
I couldn't get into The Morning Show.
So good.
No wonder Reese is on so many TV shows. That's your celebrity sleaze.
You guys follow NFTs?
Yeah, and I still don't understand what they are. I read about them every other day.
You're not alone. And if you remember, back in November, that rhymed, Rain Maida from Our Lady Peace told us all about NFTs.
He did?
His new company. Yeah. Isn't it called Sing, the app?
That's
he talked
right.
about the blockchain and about how this was going to be a thing. And I thought Saturday Night Live, you know, there's one thing. Pete Davidson, people trash him all the time. The dude is talented.
Yeah, he's funny.
He really
is talented.
He's
funny when you watch him on SNL.
So the musical guest was Jack Harlow. And he's very much of a Post Malone type, if you don't know who he is, as far as how he looks. And he's a white rapper. So Pete Davidson and Jack Harlow did this skit. And this is just part of it. But I thought it would help some people who are like, what the F is an NFT? maybe understand.
Now, what the hell's an NFT? Apparently cryptocurrency. Everyone's making so much money. Can you please explain what's an NFT? I said, what the hell's an NFT? It's like real life Monopoly. Everyone is doing it like Gronkowski. Can you please help me make an NFT?
Hey, here's the thing about NFTs. It's a non-fungible token, you see. Non-fungible means that it's unique. There can only be one like you and me. NFTs are insane. Built on a blockchain.
That's right.
A digital ledger of transactions. It records information on what's happening. When it's minted, you can sell it as art. And this concludes my rapping part.
30 seconds, now you know.
That is perfect.
It really is. It's almost like, what was the the play school show that would sing
101.
About?
It would be like, was Schoolhouse Rock?
Yeah, a bill on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
Like, it's a non-fungible token.
Yeah.
And like, you see, like, Kings of Leon came out with one. So it could be a very special version of a song that they replaced a line that says Cubby in it.
Right.
But it's just like the regular video. And there's only one of those digital assets out there. You're seeing some of these go for record amounts of money.
And I hope Rain Maida is making a lot of money.
His app is everywhere. I'm seeing them talk about it on LinkedIn a lot, and I'm seeing him show up in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentioned it way back in November, and everybody was kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Well, if he doesn't answer your calls or texts anymore, you know things have worked out for him.
Well, when he's at cashing checks now.
Right.
Thanks for breaking that down, Barnes.
I'm breaking it down on the blockchain. Obviously, you can't see that, but Pete Davidson was dressed as Eminem. It's pretty funny. It was a whole Schoolhouse skit, and it was much longer than that. Google it. And you'll see.
All right, guys. I know you give me a hard time about me not caught up as much as you guys are with things to watch. But I do have some things on my list. And I have a list.
Wow.
Tina, HBO Max. I want to check it out. I'm a Tina Turner fan. Leslie, you have the hands up. What does that mean?
Amazing.
You've seen it.
Loved it.
Look what I have done in this lifetime with this body. I'm a girl from a cotton field that pulled myself above what was not taught to me.
It was Ike's band. But Tina with the shining star.
When I saw her dance, she was all I could look at.
He rehearsed constantly.
The divorce, I got nothing. No money, no house. So I said, I'll just take my name.
No, I don't consider it a comeback. Tina had never arrived.
It hurts to have to remember those times.
It sounds great.
I have to tell you, I posted about it, but you want to talk about a story about resilience and reinvention. You know, she became Tina Turner at around the age 40. It was unbelievable. And she ended up at one point performing for like 170,000 people at some festival.
Wow.
I didn't realize her story was that. I knew that Ike and there was all this domestic violence stuff
for years
involved with them. Yeah, I didn't know the extent of it.
A lot of domestic violence. She said at one point he punched her so many times in the nose that she'd be on stage performing and she could feel the blood running down her nostrils.
Oh,
Such a sad story.
It really is, but you have to see it because it's her farewell, by the way, to her fans.
Right.
It's a sad story with triumph because she does break
exactly.
out as her own thing.
I saw her in concert in like 93 and it was amazing. She really puts on a show. There's a show on Apple called Senior Moment
to watch. Oh my gosh.
Okay. You saw that too?
I wanted to see something funny and lighthearted. Oh. I'm a big William Shatner fan.
Yeah,
I don't know
too.
If you guys ever watched him in Boston Legal when he was like Denny Crane. But here's the thing that's crazy that you might not know about him. How old do you think William Shatner is?
He's 90. He turned 90 last week.
He's 90.
Yeah,
and Christopher Lloyd is in it, and Gene Smart, but it's just kind of a lighthearted, funny movie. But Shatner still got it at 90 years old.
Guys,
what?
That looks like the worst comedy.
Barnes, if you you always tease me about watching all these heavy dramas. If you want something lighthearted, this is it.
Yeah, so light it barely sticks to the TV screen. Go and watch the trailer. Cubby, did you watch the trailer?
No, I did not.
It's full of just cheesy, like
it's Shatner.
Obvious.
Come on.
Well, you have to wait for this one. The Suicide Squad is coming August 6th to HBO Max.
Here's the deal. We fail the mission, you die.
If we find out any information you give us is false, you die.
If we find out you have personalized license plates, you die.
What? No.
If you cough without covering your mouth.
Harley, although that isn't an open invitation for you to cough without covering your mouth.
It's a big franchise. If you want something not to watch, we have seriously run out of television. Netflix is hitting an all-time low with this one. Have you seen the trailer for The Wedding Coach?
I'm Jamie Lee, comedian, actress, author, and former bride. The wedding industry wants you to believe that everything should be perfect.
I cried every day last
week. Yeah!
Oh, no.
But
this promo, by the way, has the formula of everything. Let's put the cheeky music, the so-and-so, but wait, and at some point they have to say, so for all comedy, I have to invite some friends. I know it's coming.
Wedding perfection is unattainable. I'll be there to help couples get to the finish line. I'm a fairy godmother to you. How do I bibbidi-bobbidi-boo this situation for you?
Go!
And I'll be bringing along some of my friends to help.
I made it!
Yes! Wedding stress is real, and we should be sensitive to it, as if it were a medical condition.
Oh! I joke, that may be the number one Netflix show probably next month.
Yeah.
No, but every woman will watch this, including my wife.
Right.
I won't.
On the biggest TV in the house.
Can't go there.
It just seems like they've run out of things, and so they're just putting stuff together to make a show.
All right, speaking of Netflix, I'm guessing, of course, Leslie, you've seen I Care a Lot.
Yeah, I was kind of resisting it for a bit because
it's all over the place.
Yeah, and Rosamund Pike won a Golden Globe for this. She plays this guardian. You know, she definitely takes advantage of older people, retirees, and then of course she takes over all of their money and their fortunes. And it kind of makes you mad in the first like 45 minutes of the movie, but then there's a twist.
It's one of those shows that Netflix adopts as the main, like when you turn on Netflix, it just attacks you. Like, how could you not watch it?
Marla Grayson, you've had amazing success. What's your secret?
There is no secret, Peter.
She forces them into the home, auctions off their house,
and uses the proceeds to pay herself.
Because caring is my job.
It
I will grab your dick and balls, and I will rip them clean off.
She has very powerful friends who can make life uncomfortable for you.
How uncomfortable are we talking?
That I've heard people fall both sides. Some people said they hated it, and some people loved it. By the trailer, it looks interesting.
Yeah, the last woman that she takes advantage of, her son happens to be in the Russian mafia. So just imagine how that turns. And it's Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones. But I actually ended up really liking the movie. I didn't think I was going to, but I did.
Get exclusive video content when you follow The Pop Culture Show on Instagram. Unlock full video interviews and video bits you can't get anywhere else. Instagram.com/The Pop Culture Show.
Okay, our next guest, there's a lot of talk about cults and all the mysterious strangeness that's out there. And I get a lot of grief from my co-hosts, Cubby and Leslie, that I find these topics.
Yeah, you do.
I can't help it. I'm a new age man.
Horny old man.
Yeah, new age, not horny
new,
old.
New age, he
new
said.
Age.
Yeah, horny.
And our next guest is a freelancer for the BBC. Please welcome Naz, and I will have her say her full name because I just can't.
Hey, guys, it's Nastaran Tavakoli Farr.
Whoa.
See?
It's a cool name.
When you say it's very beautiful.
Yeah, what is the origin of that name?
It's Persian. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
You probably hear Nas a lot too, right?
I do. And then people start telling me about the rapper.
Right.
Who I think is great. But
he's under a lot of heat right now because of his Satan shoes. We talked about that earlier in the show. But let's talk about The Orgasm Cult. That is your very popular podcast. BBC put that out. I've been listening to it on Apple, and very controversial. And the topic kind of aligns with Nexium. And you found our show before, right? Because of India Oxenberg.
Yeah, I'd tuned in to hear her, and she was pretty interesting. Yeah.
What a small world.
Yeah.
You see, Cubby, there's the one person. Remember, we saw that blip on the UK.
That was me.
Popped up.
It
was,
yeah, we have one new listener. We were all excited about it. Lo and behold, it's Naz.
It's me.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for that type of true crime slash, I don't know, what would you call it? True crime slash what? Cultish.
Well, it's funny because, so I'm a news journalist. So it's actually quite a journalisty endeavor, in my opinion. So I think of it less as true crime or cults. It's more a story about the wellness industry. That's how I got interested in the whole story. And actually, I heard you guys discuss wellness on your last episode. I'm going to convince all of you to do a float tank because they are really good.
I'm tempted. The orgasm cult, what led you to that specifically to cover it so in depth like you did?
Yeah. So I'll quickly tell you what it's about. It's about a Californian wellness company called One Taste who teach a practice called orgasmic meditation. This is a practice where usually men are taught how to stroke women, stroke as in stroke a woman's clitoris, in a very precise way. It's a practice that has very precise steps. It lasts 15 minutes. There's a timer, so that goes off at the end of the 15 minutes. Now, I first heard about this practice of orgasmic meditation, which is also called OM. I first heard about it around 2013, 14-ish. I was a business and tech reporter, and loads of people were trying it out. And then I was seeing this practice pop up in loads of women's magazines. So around that time, it was like, oh, I kept hearing about OM. I was hearing people I know trying OM out. Some of them loved it. Some of them just weren't really into it. So it's kind of been around me for a while. Then I started just looking into it a little bit more, and it really covered a lot of topics that I'm very interested in and which I think are really important. So I report on business, economics, psychology, gender issues. So it's kind of a really big mix of all these topics. One Taste, the company, there's a lot of allegations against them that people were being pressured into taking out lots of money to pay for these really expensive courses where they'd learn how to OM and they'd learn about communication games and how to have better relationships. There are also allegations that people who worked for One Taste, especially the women, had to either OM or have sex with potential customers to close sales. So there's a lot of allegations like that. And a lot of people who worked for the company have talked about feeling traumatized by the company's practices and their time in the company. So that's really kind of what led me into it, the fact that I was hearing about orgasmic meditation and that it seems to be a story about mostly women seeking healing and seeking a way to connect with their sexuality. And so, you know, trying these alternative practices, but then being kind of very vulnerable to exploitation.
So how did people like discover this?
That's a good question.
What was that, Barnes?
I just said that's a good question. Like, how, you don't just advertise it or you'll go to jail, right?
Yeah, I mean, is it online? I mean, how did people find out about it?
Well, so that's an interesting question, because the company started in 2004, and the co-founder is a woman called Nicole Dadone, who's extremely magnetic and charismatic. And so she really sold this as a practice that would help the modern woman to learn how to connect with her body, learn how to explore her sexuality, and also just kind of feel more empowered and get in touch with her spirituality. So that's really the way that orgasmic meditation has been marketed. And what's interesting is that it actually comes from some quite fringe 60s Northern Californian roots. So Nicole really made it something much more mainstream, and she removed anything weird or fringe from it. Because around 2011, that's when the company started getting really big. So she did a TEDx talk where she talked about how turned on women will change the world, and it was really popular. Then they were being written up in the New York Times, Elle, Marie Claire. So they were all over the women's wellness press. Wow. And very much as a sort of, I guess that now that Goop is so mainstream, very much in that category of like slightly weird, slightly woo, but very clean and legit looking women's wellness practice. So, I mean, for example, I know loads of people who've tried OHM, and yeah, it was like you would go along to a one-day workshop and you would learn how to OHM, and, you know, men and women would pair off and try this OHM practice. It's really more people who got involved in the company, either in one of two ways, either that they were taking out expensive courses, so they were paying for these courses that could cost thousands of dollars, and they were being really pressured into taking out new credit cards, going into debt, etc., to pay for these courses, or it's people who were working for the company. Now, if you worked for the company, things were quite different in terms of, first of all, if you worked for the company, a lot of people were pressured into making the company their entire lives. So they really had to like cut off ties with friends and family. There were things called OHM houses, which were communal houses where people who worked for One Taste would live. They would be waking up at around 5 or 6 in the morning, doing a couple of rounds of OHM, doing other practices like fear inventory, which comes from AA, I understand, where you have to share all of your fears and all of the things you're scared about, which would then be used against people. Then they'd spend all day selling courses, so calling people selling courses, and then running courses by night and going to bed at sort of midnight and stuff. So I was hearing people who worked for the company were having a really different experience, where the company was becoming their whole lives. They were being told what to do all the time. A lot of them being pressured into OHMing or having sex with potential clients to close sales. And especially the women really talked about this having a really bad effect on their mental health as well. So many women I spoke to were really, really traumatized. Some of the men as well, but especially the women. And it was actually really hard to get women to go on the podcast. So I spoke to loads of people off the record, but I could only get a couple of women who would actually go on the podcast itself. There's a lot of fear of the company retaliating, and yeah, just a lot of trauma going around. So what I was seeing of One Taste around 2014-15 at their peak, it was like, you know, slightly weird but glossy thing that was in Goop, and Goop was in Elle, New York Times. Loads of people were trying it out, but the reality behind closed doors was something much, much different.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because how would they get, you know, some of these men who were, you know, on the nerdy side, right, to be with these beautiful women? I mean, to me, that were they forced into it? Like, how did this happen?
Yeah, so that's actually a good point, because so I said how I heard about it first in the tech scene. One Taste were really marketing themselves to men in tech who had a lot of money, who could afford to pay for these courses. So yeah, that's how I first heard about it. It was really sold as a way to learn how to connect with women. So just a way to learn how to emotionally connect with women, sexually connect with women. And from my reporting and my experience, I'd say there were probably two main categories of men who got into One Taste. First, it is this group of men who were looking for meaning, purpose. How do I learn how to, you know, get on with women? And then you also had a category of guys who basically wanted to sleep with lots of women, and this gave them access to women. And actually, on that point, something that would happen a lot is that if women who worked for the company had difficulty paying for some of these very expensive courses, and coaching programs would cost $10,000, for example, so we're talking about really big price tags, the company would suggest that they ask a wealthy guy to pay for them. That was seen as being like an empowering thing, like, you know, as a woman, why don't you just ask this guy to pay for your self-development? But it was kind of like a gray area, because a lot of the women said that they felt like then they owed these guys something, even though the company didn't explicitly say, you need to give this guy something. One of my guests on the podcast, she said, it's not exactly prostitution, but it's not exactly different either.
Leslie, are you talking about the way they would, like, the men would just get assigned to a woman?
Yes.
So, like, when I was listening to that, it's, like, so weird. These women would just, like, show up and go, okay, Cubby, you're with Becky. And Becky's like, oh, Cubby's not my type. And Cubby's like, all right, right, Becky. Like, that just seems like such a strange practice. And then you're really getting in deep on the legal and coercive side.
And here's my question. Who's paying? Like, is it the girl to get in or the guy to get in? I mean, what's the, how much money to get involved in this?
Yeah, so the company was running for quite a long time, so the price tags have changed through that time. But for example, often an intro course might be about $100 or something, like a half day or a full day intro course.
To rope you in.
Yeah, well, to get people to come and try it out. Then if you were doing things like coaching programs, which would be like a weekend, or there'd be like 4 or 5 weekends of coaching to learn about OHM and communication skills and things like that. I know that the coaching program started at $5,000. Towards the end, it was much higher than that. There was an annual membership that towards the when I say the end, that's a bit of a problematic statement that I'll come to, but that ended up costing $60,000, which meant that you could take as many courses as you wanted. You'd have special perks and things. So those are kind of the price points. They were very much targeting themselves to men with money. So while it wasn't explicit, it seems that the expectation was that they would be paying for both their courses and courses for these women who would be asking them to pay. Yeah, so a lot of gray areas going on there. Yeah.
Listening to your podcast, it's very digestible for those of our fans that are listening and curious about it. The episodes are 20 minutes-ish long, and there's, what, 10 of them total?
Yeah.
You know, it's a couple of the episodes, it's very voyeuristic, actually listening in a room to somebody oming.
Yeah. That's episode one.
And it's, yeah. Like, so I thought it was like 2 or 3, but I remember just the guy and like, they're like, okay, let's go in the bedroom. And then all of a sudden they're doing this thing. Now, I'm not trying to be funny when I ask you this question. As a reporter, when you got into this topic, did you try OHMing?
I haven't tried it before, no. So I've known about OHM for ages. I've not had any interest. I don't have a problem with if people want to try it out.
I just didn't know from the curious side as a reporter if you even went into that as taking the experience.
Yeah. So I wasn't interested in it before reporting. When I started the investigation, I on purpose also didn't try it. I know a lot of journalists have written about OHM throughout the years and they've tried it.
Right.
I didn't do that on purpose because it's an investigation and I didn't want to be
understood.
I didn't want to be biased by the experience myself. So that was,
I just wanted to ask.
I have a feeling that, you know, as a journalist, you'll be hosting or be part of a Netflix limited series on this, just like the NXIVM one. I'm serious.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
see. Maybe I need to produce that. Let's talk afterwards because I can't believe it's not. I would watch it.
I can't believe it.
Just by the name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just by the name. I will say the name. I was like, ooh, I like those culty, like watching those things on TV. And when I found your podcast, it's like, well, let's see if the podcast actually holds up. And one of the first things I told you was, Naz, you're an excellent storyteller and you really keep people attached and you tell the story very well through these 10 episodes. There's not a lot of filler. I mean,
Thanks. You
get right into the sex, money, and power and the craziness behind this One Taste organization. Well, thank you for coming on. I highly encourage you to listen to it if that's your type of thing. And I do feel it falls in the true crime, like wellness is a good, you know, true crime wellness. It falls right in that
pocket
world. It's just so interesting. Naz, you can find it everywhere, right? Like,
yes.
Not just on Apple, it's pretty much wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
The Orgasm Cult. Naz is the host, and thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me. That was fun.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Naz.
We'll see you soon, Naz. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
The Pop Culture Show, presented by Luna Nuda Pinot Grigio. Celebrate the little moments and the big ones with Luna Nuda Pinot Grigio. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.